But what happens to you over time? It's not that you're not grateful and it's not that you're rebellious. That's not why you run. That's not why you run. The reason you say I've had enough is because you don't feel like you are enough. That's why he ran. I don't know what else to do. I called for the drought. I released the rain and nothing's changed. I'm done. When he said, I'm done, he wasn't telling God, I don't want to do it anymore. He was saying, I don't know what else to do. And he dropped. He's done. I can't carry this anymore. I can't do it. So I'm not necessarily going to leave my house. I'm not necessarily going to leave my marriage physically, but emotionally. I'm going to withdraw 15% at a time, and you'll never even know I was taking my heart out of it. One day at a time, he went into the wilderness, running from the disappointment. He wasn't running from Jezebel, bro. He had the drop on Jezebel. And it's interesting to me that the most dangerous place that he could have gone was away from the one who was threatening him. He would have been safer to walk right up in Ahab's palace and say, bring your wife out here. I want to tell her something. He would have been safer to drop a diss track on Jezebel and tell her what you want some too. Hashtag, hey Jezebel. I thought about writing a letter to Jezebel. Hey, Jezebel, you can go to. Write down the word opposition. Because certain battles you expect to have to fight. I went on Twitter one time. That enough should produce tears. I went on Twitter one time. Now, somebody said something. It was crazy. Now, please, I don't mean this to be a depressing sermon. We're just talking today, all right? They said they hoped that I had pancreatic cancer and died a slow, painful death. So I clicked on the profile. I was like, what kind of atheist is this? Their handle had a scripture verse in it. What was weird about that is I expected to have to fight people who didn't know God. What I didn't expect. Why are church people some of the meanest people around? I expect to fight you if your jersey is a different color. That's how the game goes. But you were supposed to be blocking for me. Elijah wasn't scared of Jezebel. Let me tell you what broke his heart. Can I show you this? Go to verse 10. I think it's 19, 1 Kings 19:10. When God asked him a question, it's a very strategic question. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? By this time, Elijah has long passed through Beersheba where he left his servant. Now the enemy's got him right where he wants him in isolation. Because the first thing that the devil will do when he wants to drop you is make sure he catches you alone. The attack will not come here in the church. He's too stupid to show up and fight you here. It will be when you leave here. It'll be about 3:26 when you go into a good carbohydrate coma. That's when the thoughts come. That's when the fears come. It's going to come tonight when you got nobody to talk to and nobody to message. And he leaves his servant and he goes into the wilderness and the thoughts come. And he's having this conversation with a God that he can't see about an opponent that he did not expect to have to fight. Here's why I ran. Here's why I want to quit. Here's why I dropped. Because I did my job. I was responsible. And I'm disappointed because the Israelites Notice how he has separated himself from the very people that he was called to serve. He's talking about them like they're a third party. He is an Israelite. Okay. The Israelites, you know how you do. Your kids. She does that to me all the time. You need to talk to your son. I know it's not because he just mastered a new piece of piano music when she says it like that. You better talk to your son. You better talk to your people, God. You better talk to your children. Because I did my job, and I did my best. Sometimes I talk to God like that about y'all. God, you better show these people how good I'm preaching right now, because they don't understand what it cost me to bring them this word, and they're just looking at me real crazy. I did my job. But they tore down your altars, rejected your covenants, and tried to put your prophets to death. And now I'm the only one, and they're trying to kill me too. Now, you know that they can't kill you, or else you wouldn't have said they're trying. But it's not Jezebel you're fighting. It's not even really the Israelites. I expected to have to fight people. I expected to have to fight for a parking space. I expected to have to fight against the corrupt world system. I expected that. What I didn't expect was the inner me to be my greatest enemy. I'm out. I'm done. I could fight the false prophets. I could even deal with Jezebel. But I'm sick of this. I'm sick of being like this. I'm sick of thinking like this. I'm sick of pretending like this. I'm sick of telling everybody fine when I'm really frustrated. I'm done. And he drops. And I thought I might end the sermon here. In the drop zone. You know, it's an interesting thing. Is that when Elijah tells God how he feels, the Spirit of God is in this place right now, and he's about to put something on a parachute and drop it right into your spirit. Let me tell you who he's speaking to right now. The one who doesn't even want to hear it. The one who doesn't even want to hear it. Elijah said, I don't even want to be a mom anymore. You know, the Bible says he went and hid in a cave. We talk a lot about man caves, but how about mom caves? I'm sick of it. I am sick of all these other moms. I'm sick of their fake Pinterest. I'm sick of all of it. I am sick of this. Now, maybe you don't need this message today. You could either sit there judgmental, or you could file it for Tuesday when you go into your own cave. He's talking about your kid is 5. When they are 15, you will need this message. Put it on your favorites on YouTube, because something will make you want to run. Help me preach left section of Valentine. Spiritual section. Elijah said, I'm out. God said, not so fast, because the reason that you have collapsed is not because of your situation. It's because of your position. Position. I never dropped a parachute with a refrigerator filled with concrete for target practice. I never dropped a gift supply for somebody who never received a pair of flip-flops or a pair of shorts for Christmas. I never did that. But I found on my iPhone, I found AirDrop. I found AirDrop. Have you ever seen it? I don't use it much, but I have used it once or twice. And one thing I found out about AirDrop is when, do you have an iPhone? Stacy, you got an iPhone? Now I don't need your phone. I want mine. And I got something I want to give you from my phone to your phone. Now, we could do a couple different things. One thing we could do, I could text it to you. But what fun would that be when I have AirDrop? Somebody shout, drop it. Because I found this thing on my phone. It says AirDrop. I found out that if our phones are close enough, and if we have a connection on Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, come on, I'm about to preach this technology until somebody comes out of hiding. If I got something on my device and you need it on your device, if I can get close enough to your device with my device, what's on my device can jump on your device. If I got a connection, if I come out of the cave, if I get close to the one who created me, close to the one who called me, if I stop running and return to the place of my assignment, I got the drop. God said, I'm calling you closer. I'm calling you back. This day is for reconnection. I didn't bring you here so you could sit under a broom bush and die. This is the drop zone. Who is it for? Who is it for? Who is it for? Who is it for? Who is it for, Gaston? Who is it for, UC? Who is it for, Blakeney? Who is it for? You're under the covers. You didn't even come to church. God had to get this message to you through an app, but he's about to drop some in your spirit to strengthen you. My brother said they put out red flags. They put out red flags in remote locations to let me know that this is the drop zone. They put out a red flag and we fly down close. See, that's the thing about God. He can't shout it to you. He has to get down to that 300-foot level real close where you can't hide how you really feel. And maybe we should do today what Elijah had to do to return to the calling and return to the rain and return to the blessing of God. Look, it doesn't require a change in feelings. It's a change in focus. You got it? I'm preaching to y'all in the back. I'm preaching to people who are too tired to stand up and say amen. This is your mail. This is your package. This is your supply. God's trying to drop it. And God told Elijah, verse 15 is so beautiful. He said, go back the way you came. Change your position to receive the provision that is already waiting in the place where you belong. Because I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. I said I'm seated in a divine position, far above rulers, far above principalities. Who am I preaching to? I'm looking in the camera. I need to know where to drop this. So go back the way you came. Change your position. Go back to the place of your opposition. That's where your opportunity is. Did you hear me? Your greatest opportunity is in the place of your greatest opposition. If it were not hard, it would not be worth fighting for. If it were not hard, it would not be worth surviving for. Go back. Go back. Go back to the place of your responsibility. God told Elijah, I've already got Elisha, son of Shaphat. He's your successor. He's waiting for your mantle. You weren't supposed to do this alone to begin with. And the reason that I let you run out of strength is so that you would be in a place of surrender and dependence. You were not supposed to do this alone. So I had to let you run all the way to the cave, all the way to the disappointment so you could get this drop.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.